1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by the Marcus Majestic Parking Lot Cinema. For a unique double feature drive-in experience, check out this week's movie selections at marcustheaters.com/parkinglotcinema.
Time to talk music news with our music expert and brisket preparing expert.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's the brisket?
You know, that yesterday was National Brisket Day.
Yeah.
So we finished it off.
Okay, which Gary sent me a picture of the brisket.
Yeah.
Considering the one we had was the size of a St. Bernard, that's pretty good.
Now, that wasn't disturbing that you sent me a picture of the brisket. The disturbing part was you were in your robe, and you sent me a picture of you posing with your brisket.
Well, you know, you got to clean up after you do a good smoke and cook.
I wasn't sure what kind of mess.
I didn't have the robe, like, open or anything.
I wasn't sure if you were trying to seduce me, though, with the meat or with your...
With my suave demeanor.
Yes. Yeah. Well, something's going on. Something's happening, but I don't know why, I thought to myself.
Well, I had to get that picture done because, like, you know, the barbarians were at the gate to eat this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know how long I was going to have to actually get the picture done.
Well, I appreciated the picture. That thing was big. How many pounds was that brisket?
I'm guessing about 15.
And
wow.
How long did it take to cook? 12? No, it had to take about 15, 16 hours?
You know, it depends on the whole process. Yes, you know, somewhere in the 14 to 16 range.
And you do this with your neighbor's pirated cooker, smoker, grill thing?
Yep. Yeah. And the deer were watching approvingly, so.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very nice.
Yeah.
It was good.
I know you were a sports writer for a while, right?
Right.
And obviously music is your wheelhouse. Have you ever thought about writing a cooking column?
Oh, food column.
Yeah.
Be a foodie, Gary.
No, I am the kind of person. Well, there's a difference between a food column and a cooking column. Cooking column would be an unmitigated disaster. An eating
what?
Column would be.
Wait a minute. There's a show on here on PBS called Wisconsin Foodie. Maybe, what about you being the Michigan foodie?
We could throw that out there.
You don't sound like you're that interested.
You know, I know too much about doing shows for PBS.
Well, you know, it's something to think about anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to.
PBS has a show that, what was it? What was it called? Was it the Test Kitchen Show? Some guy in a bow tie. I watch that before NFL games because I just can't stand pregame shows.
Sure, why not?
I get a, you know.
It's kind of like a visual tailgate.
Yeah, true. Consider some food issues. Watch some football.
No.
It's an afternoon.
Since food, we're not football, it all goes together.
Since we're not going to any football or baseball games where you can set up our smokers.
Load up on the food.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right, let's get started on some music news here. What's going on with Journey?
Journey, this was an interesting one. So it was actually a couple days after we spoke last week. They popped this video, you know, prepared video of Don't Stop Believin' on to introduce the new lineup of Journey. You'll recall that earlier this year they fired the bassist and drummer, Ross Valerie.
Because why, Brian?
Smith, because
Because of the coup.
Yeah, they tried a corporate coup on the band, on the Journey name. So they fired them, and then a few days ago they announced the new lineup, which will include Randy Jackson, as in, yes, American Idol Randy Jackson, who was, before he was the Dog, he was Journey's bass player from 1985 to 1987.
But Randy bounced around. He played with a lot of different people. He's done a lot of records.
Jackson, yeah. Toto, you know. No, he's quite a good musician as well as a producer. So he, and then the drummer is going to be Narada Michael Walden, who is also a Grammy Award-winning producer. He worked with Aretha Franklin. He worked with Toto, a number of people. And Journey also came clean about a sixth member, a guy named Jason Derlatka, who's basically been playing keyboards out of sight for them for a number of years.
Really?
And now he's out front. Well, a lot of bands, with more bands than you want to think.
Does that mean he's in a secret room during a concert?
Not a secret room, but he's behind the amps or side stage.
Hmm.
And there's more of this that goes on than you probably want to know about.
I suppose.
You know, in rock, you know, there is, you know, if you ever go under the stage at a U2 concert, you'd be surprised, very surprised by what's going on down there.
So what was the problem with Milli Vanilli then exactly?
Well, you know, at least there's real playing going on. And real singing. There aren't fake singers singing.
Well, hold on. Years ago, before Milli Vanilli ever was even heard of, Electric Light Orchestra was sued in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
For having recorded tracks that were playing? They had the band out there, but they enhanced the sound with some recorded music, right?
Right, and then
where do you draw the line?
Well, would that hold up today if somebody took them to court and said, that's not a live act?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Because,
so why doesn't...
But back then, you know, back in 1978, 79, whenever that was truly shocking. You know, there was the ethic and the ethos was everything should be played live. It's not like that anymore. And I think any defendant could argue and win in front of a judge just saying, look, this is the industry standard. This is how things are done. The audience knows it and recognizes it and doesn't care.
I think my friend has onto something here with Milli Vanilli.
He handed those awards back.
It's not quite apples to apples, but I think in the...
But weren't there always acts that used recorded things or part of the drum machine or something?
Don't forget, that wasn't them at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the shows, it was the records. You know, it was.
But you went to see a show. You just went to see the show, and there was show was dancing, and
they were in the transition phase. You know, was the MTV era when Paula Abdul was coming along, Janet Jackson, and Madonna, and you know, the shows were not just concerts; they were shows.
Britney Spears can't keep her breath and do all the dancing and snake charming and things she does on a stage, and actually belt out a tune. So she gets her own voice doing backing vocals,
right? And during a show, case of a Britney Spears, some would say, you know, perhaps that's all for the best.
Well, but you're okay.
It goes to the same thing, Your Honor.
Absolutely, right? It's a show, and
right.
You know
that's
what?
That's more accepted now than it was even in the mid '80s.
Got to go back to the magic shows. Then it would be the same thing as demanding that they really saw the lady in half. You know. You say that's what you're doing. Well, then that's what you better do.
And then there are the bands that use electric to bring them into tune, right?
Oh, yeah.
So okay, I'm singing in the microphone. I suck, but because of this electronic equipment, it puts me on key.
And there's instrument technology now, you know, like there's guitar technology that keeps your guitar in tune as you're playing. You know, you're still playing the notes.
Seems like a wonderful idea.
So what does that do to your guitar tech, the guy who's constantly back there tuning your guitar?
They have other stuff to do. They still have to switch out the guitars.
It runs it out to you.
Automated. Yeah. Automate that job.
We have a robot for that now. Yep. Yeah. That box is replaced.
There's an app for that.
What postponements and cancellations did we get
this week? This week, not quite as brutal as last week, but still some notable ones. Hall & Oates and Squeeze and Doobie Brothers' 50th anniversary tour. Postponed to 2021. Rammstein, North American tour, bumped back to next year. Same with Jethro Tull's UK tour. The Who's canceled all of its upcoming North American shows that were supposed to happen in the spring. They were postponed. Now they're canceled, although we're hearing they will have another tour in 2021. The Greek Theater in L.A., you'll remember Neil Diamond live at the Greek, has canceled its summer season for the first time in 90 years. Shinedown's tour is also canceled. And there's a new report from the New York Times. The consensus among executives at live events companies now is they've all but given up on 2021. And I found this interesting. They're looking towards winter of 2021 to start booking concerts. Again.
Wow, that's quite a ways down the road.
So I don't know. You know, there's a lot of these postponed shows have already been postponed into the spring and summer of 2021. So now are those going to get bumped again to later? We'll find out.
I'm going to say yes. I'll go with yes. Not possible, but yeah, there'll be shows that are bumped back. They'll go that we didn't bump them far enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking. I was thinking until I read that. Sometime summer of 2021, not early summer, but maybe by August 2021, we'd be back up and running. But, you know, maybe not in this case.
Well, they're the things that were already scheduled for 2021, whatever time they were. And
right.
And all the things that get
that are being bumped
piled on in the second later that were bumped to that time.
Yeah,
even if the bands can handle all that, you know, people, you know, they still have to have money to go to all these shows.
Right.
It's going to be.
Well, that's it. I mean, we're you know, the crisis is also, you know, financial, employment, and, yeah, what's going to happen?
Yeah. All right, what's the deal with Brian May?
Boy, what a week he's having, or
yeah,
what a month
so, you
he
know,
had.
First, we get this kind of glib little text that he had a gluteus maximus injury while gardening. Now it
he tore his glute, right? That's a big muscle to injure. That's probably going to take a little while to heal.
Bigger one for some of us than others.
Hey, man, I tore my ass.
What kind of gardening is that? That's got to be more than just, I don't know.
You know, maybe. He's older, so who knows. But it turns out that not only was, you know, did he have a bottom issue in the middle of his body, he had a heart attack.
Yeah,
that'll make you forget about your ass, man.
Makes your ass tear even worse.
Yeah, they decided to look up from the posterior and found three artery clogs.
Whoa.
Congestion, sorry, not clogs. And so, you know, he had surgery, had stents put in, and he's recovering from that now.
And he's
coronavirus, hell with you. I got heart problems. Wow.
Yeah, people are still having normal health issues these days. So,
so he had a sciatic nerve pinched, and that's the gluteus maximus injury. All right.
Yeah, so it was not I think he's going to be hiring gardeners from here on out.
Well, yeah.
What if you enjoy gardening? What if you just like gardening? It's relaxing for you. It's your hobby. It's what you like to do.
It relaxing for him. Messed him up.
I think what you do is you learn to watch somebody else do it.
There you go.
And
correct
enjoy that.
Answer, yeah. Richard is going to get a memorial.
Yeah, they're going to try to build a statue in his hometown of Macon, Georgia. They haven't said yet. It's a new organization called Friends of Little Richard.
I think just for the irony of it, Gary, it should be a 40-foot statue of Little Richard.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Huge statue.
You know, as long as it's bigger than his real size.
Little
and painted
Richard
in 2D fruity colors.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
How do you pose that? At a piano? Is he going to be in front of a microphone?
They really haven't revealed how to do it. I think a piano would be great. Something performing, not just. He's not the kind of guy who should stand there in a dignified fashion.
No, right? Or on a horse with a sword.
I wasn't really joking about the tutti frutti colors. I think that would be great.
He should. How do you on a statue put perspiration on it? Because he would sweat.
Oh yeah, he would. I thought maybe you can spray something.
Yeah.
But they're gonna have the statue as well as a facsimile of his Hollywood Walk of Fame star, and they're looking at having it up by December 5th. So that's working pretty quick.
Well, they must have sculptors at work already.
That is fast. Maybe, but this
sculptures to go. Maybe,
yeah.
You know. And then also speaking of Little Richard, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, they did the story. So Sammy and his band, The Circle, has been doing this lockdown challenge where they've recorded, this is the seventh song they've done so far. They put out a version of Little Richard's Keep a Knockin' as part of the series, and you can find that on YouTube or any of Sammy's social media as well as, you know. And then, so yeah, they're up to seven now. I suppose at some point this will all be turned into an album, you know, the lockdown challenge album. But for now, they're putting out a song about every month. Or more better than every month, like every 2 weeks.
Yeah, why
like
would
a factory?
Why would?
Yeah, why not? You got.
Well, it's
time
what
on
they
your
do,
hands, right?
Yeah, no kidding. You're not going anywhere. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. Something for the kids here.
Is her band a secret?
Yeah, she's got. So a lot of people's eyebrows went up on Killing Eve. You know, the BBC One drama when there was a version of Look What You Made Me Do, which is one of Taylor's hits from 2017, and everybody was like, wait, is that Taylor Swift singing that? Because it was done a little differently.
Yeah.
And so it was credited to this band called the Dolphin Club. And I'm sorry, Jack Leppards and the Dolphin Club. And it turns out among the members, this band didn't exist until this past Sunday night. And it turns out the members of the band include Austin Swift, none other than brother of Taylor Swift, and somebody named Nils Joburg, which was a pseudonym that she used to write a track for Calvin Harris and Rihanna back in 2016. So basically what it looks like it's happened is, and if you'll recall, when Taylor's record company was bought by Scooter Braun, Justin Bieber's manager, Taylor got all ticked off and said that, you know, she was going to re-record her albums. By doing this under a pseudonym, you know, with a different band and everything, they don't have to ask permission, nor do they have to pay performance royalties to Scooter Braun and his label.
So some lawyer figured that out, huh?
Yeah, it's a lawyer.
Hey, you know, if you do this.
Taylor's maybe the smartest person working in the music industry these days as a performer. Wow. So, yeah, they've created this new entity to make this music, and, you know, we'll see if that's what she does when she re-records the albums, too.
And then there's some go-around with Burger King.
Oh, yeah, this is pretty funny. So Burger King, some Taylor Swift fan tweeted to Burger King, "Hey, what's your favorite song?" And they replied, "The one about her ex." And people went nuts, "Oh, that's sexist, this and that," you know, as the world does, which is like, come on, seriously? That was kind of clever.
Well, addressing Burger King as if it is an entity like, you know, the Burger King.
Well, when you say the Taylor Swift song about her ex, that's every song she's ever recorded.
It's at least 90% of them, yes.
Yeah, so.
So it's actually a compliment, right? Anyway, so Burger King wound up taking it down, and then McDonald's got in the act, and they put out on their social media that let's shake it off and celebrate hashtag Burger King is over party with a $3 shake and fries deal on the McDonald's app.
It's good marketing, right?
Yeah,
it is good marketing.
It's good marketing.
Everybody's jumping into that. So, So yeah, it was a week for Taylor.
All right. You have anything scheduled to go on Smoker this week, Gary?
Not this week, no. What we'll be smoking is 5 o'clock tonight on Dropkick Murphy's social media, live from Fenway Park. They're going to set up in Fenway Park. No fans. You know, they'll be socially distanced from each other. And they're going to be joined remotely by Bruce Springsteen. And they're calling it the double play. They're going to play a Dropkick Murphy song, then they're going to play a Springsteen song, and alternate for about 90 minutes.
Really, where's Bruce going to be?
Bruce is going to be in Jersey.
Okay.
And, you know, they've been rehearsing all week, you know, working on the timing and stuff. But
and no fans at any of this?
No fans, nope. Okay. It'll be, you know, they'll be soliciting money for some charities like Feeding America and Habitat for Humanity. But in terms of, you know, shows, you know, great music that's been done on the internet, this is going to be up there as one of the good ones.
All right, I can stream that?
Yeah, YouTube, Instagram.
Are they going to want my PayPal account before I sign in?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I think it's going to be, you know, pretty straightforward. So you can, you know, but it should be, you know, I think it's going to be great.
Are you going to play Hungry Heart?
I don't know. They wouldn't say. I talked to one of the Dropkick Murphys guys, and he wouldn't tell me what Bruce songs they were going to play.
All right. We're out of time, Gary.
All right. You guys have a good week.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Gary Graff, our music expert.